It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
The Olympic Show on OTB Sports with Indeed, proud partner of Team Ireland.
Now then, you're very welcome back. So we're going with Olympics and we are talking boxing. And it's all with thanks to Indeed, who are proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their true talents. Hashtag talent unleashed. And we are starting with the Harrington family, because Kelly Harrington has won herself a medal, bronze at a minimum, and we're certainly hoping for more. Very happy to say that her brother Chris is with us on the line. Hey, Chris.
How are you doing?
Great to have you with us. I'm not sure where in the world you are at the moment. I know you were coaching out in Iceland for a time with the football. I don't know where you are at the moment.
Yeah, still here in sunny Reykjavik. Still here.
Okay. Well, look, congratulations. Not every day your sister wins an Olympic medal. Extraordinary.
Yeah. I think extraordinary, to say the least. But yeah, just delighted for her and everybody involved, our team, our coaches, and everybody around her, my family. Just a great and proud moment for everyone involved, to be honest.
I think, Chris, because we all expected her to do very well at these games, it surprised a few of us when we saw how emotional she was in her interview after the fight. And then, of course, the reality hits you that, of course, there's been so much pressure on her and it's been such a long wait and it is such a big deal to win a medal. It kind of hit me this morning when I was listening to her talk and listening to how emotional she was. You know, just what a big deal it is, because, like I said, I think we all expected this for her, and you can take these things for granted on the outside.
Yeah, I think in terms of emotion, I mean, I think any sporting event of that magnitude is going to bring emotions out in anyone, you know, particularly when you win. But like Kelly said, I think most of the emotion was attached to the fact that she's bringing a joy and a happiness to people in the community and the country that need. And I think that's where it really got her, you know.
Give us a sense of the work that she's put in over the years, Chris.
I mean, how long they have, you know, it's immense what she's done over the years, you know, the stuff that people haven't seen. You know, I remember the last time I was at home a couple of years ago, not the last time, but one of the last times I was at home a few years ago, going down to Limerick where, you know, she's gone down there to fight grown men, paying out of her own pocket to go to other countries for camps and just so she can better herself, you know. But I mean, the stuff that goes on that people don't see, the sacrifices, the stuff that she's put in, I think to try sum her up is unfair, because you never really can, you know. And like I said earlier on, it's she hasn't just arrived where she is now. It's a build up of all the stuff she's done over the years and all the work, and I think most importantly, just how she is as a human being and person.
So she would pay out of her own pocket to go to camps and to fight male fighters elsewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's been all over the world, you know, and that's the beauty of Kelly. She's not afraid to do whatever it takes to better herself in the boxing ring and outside it as well.
What's it meant for your folks, do you think, Chris?
I think seeing my man and dad today, it's meant a lot, you know. Again, I think it's hard to put into words what it meant to see their daughter on the highest stage of all, you know. To put into words how they feel is there's no way to do it, you know. I know both of them are extremely proud, happy, and just very, very excited for what's to come, you know. And I think my ma and dad have a huge role to play in Kelly's success in terms of where she is now, how she's got there, you know. Kelly's grown up saying, you know, the traits Kelly has, her personality, she's a pleaser and she wants to help people and she wants to see people do well. On the other side of that, she's a ferocious worker, you know, nobody will outwork her. And they're the traits as kids we seen growing up, you know. We were growing up seeing my dad waking up at 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, getting his porridge and cycling 15, 20 kilometres to Premier Dirties to walk, coming home 6-7 in the night, having his dinner, rinse, repeat, you know. That's what we were used to seeing growing up. So the hard work try and stuff like that comes from me dad, definitely. And in terms of my ma is, you know, she's a massive player. She likes to play and help everybody. So I think Kelly's got a lovely mix of both of them combined, you know.
Interviewed Kelly a couple of times, and she's very open about how boxing came at an important time in her life. You know, there's always that danger, you go off the rails or you get up to no good, and she was saying boxing really got her back on track. Do you remember that time? Do you remember thinking she needed boxing or something like that in her life, a focus?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say she needed a focus. Like, you know, with Kelly, she knew what she wanted to do, you know. It was just finding the right thing for her. Like any teenage kid in Dublin, it's about finding what's right for you. And she, you know, boxing was the sport that she fell into and loved and took it to where she is today. So, yeah, I mean, she's obviously grateful to the sport, but I think the sport also has a lot to tie for her, particularly female boxing.
Yeah. So this would have been, what, maybe 15 years ago she would have started boxing and getting into the sport. This is a little bit before Katie Taylor's winning an Olympic medal. Was everybody at home kind of thumbs up, yeah, go for it, when she came on with boxing gloves, or was there a raised eyebrow at that stage?
No, I think everybody was supportive. Like, yeah. I said, me ma and dad are the, you know, I could tell them tomorrow I'm going to do whatever, and they support you all the way, you know. They're not the type of people to judge or to put you in a box. They'll always support you and give this full support. So, you know, the eyebrows were probably coming from myself and Joel, because we probably were sensing we're in trouble now. We better not step out of line.
Have you been talking much to her, Chris, over the last couple of days?
Yeah. I mean, we're always back and forth on WhatsApp. So, yeah, that doesn't change, you know.
Great. And how does she sound to you? Relaxed or, you know, a little tense or no different?
Yeah, just relaxed, you know. Just like I said this morning, the only thing that Kelly's worrying about is what she's going to eat next, which is a great thing. She's very relaxed. She, you know, she's having the time of her life. She's on the biggest stage, and like I said earlier on, it's a time for her to enjoy. And when everything's finished, then she can reflect. But for now, she's very relaxed and just enjoying it, like, to be honest.
Great. Well, isn't that is fantastic to hear. Congrats to you again and to all the family, and look, fingers crossed over the next couple of days. Chris Harrington, brother of Kelly, thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Cheers. Great to have you with us. Appreciate the time. That's Chris Harrington there. Let's bring in Kieran Cunningham, chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star. Kieran, thanks. I know you've been waiting patiently for us. So again, we've all expected Kelly Harrington probably to medal at these games. And again, as I said to Chris, you can kind of be lulled into a sense that she expects that. But you saw the emotion today, you saw, you know, a degree of relief, and I suppose the magnitude of what she had done hitting her.
Yeah. It actually reminds me of Katie Taylor's fight against Natasha Jonas, her quarterfinal in 2012. I'm not sure if you were at that, Joe, but if you, I'm sure you've seen it. And her celebrations, Katie's, after winning that quarterfinal, were actually greater than when she won the quarterfinal, greater than when she won the final. Like, if you remember, she went to the apron of the ring and she kind of roared out, come on, out to the crowd, and the place was hopping, and, you know, it had the highest decibel reading of those Olympics. But I think that was reflected in Kelly's reaction as well. And I think it comes down to the relief in getting the medal and changing the colour of the medal. In a way, doesn't have the same kind of pressure. Getting your hands on the medal and being an Olympic medalist. Like, go back to poor Darren Sutherland. Like, once he got the Olympic bronze in 2008, he didn't really care about winning silver or gold. To him, getting the medal was the ultimate. And to a lot of athletes in all sports, that is the case. And I think, you know, the Kelly Harrington story, the Irish Olympic story, to me, is about local heroes. Like, we've seen that with the West Cork rowers, Phil Healy from Ballineen in West Cork, a tiny place. Two Olympic finalists from Grange and Sligo, population just over 500. Mona McSharry in swimming, Chris O'Donnell in athletics. And Portland Row in the North Inner City. You know, this, how they have taken Kelly to their hearts and the pride they have in what she has done is immense. And this is one of the most maligned places in Ireland. It's one of the most neglected and one of the most disadvantaged. It's been ignored by governments for years. and often it's been stigmatized, and it's not through a fault of the people, you know, it's through a handful of people who have targeted people there, selling them drugs, dragging them into crime, etc. And Michael Darren McCauley, the former Dublin player, works in there as a, you know, as a it's kind of a community officer in terms of sport and helping out with sport. And he said, you know, that role models, he says, it's massive because, you know, kids look at the guy with the Lexus and the 50 grand watch and they don't care, they often don't care how he got it. But Kelly is one of the most positive role models I've ever seen come out of this country. Like even during lockdown, you know, the footage that came out of the psychiatric hospital where she works in Fairview, and she didn't have to work, you know, because she was on full-time funding, you know, but she wanted to work. She enjoys the fun there and with the patients and with the staff, and she enjoys the challenge of it. And she had these little videos of them all dancing and singing around. It's, you know, she was at the heart of it. So she's a remarkable character, and I would love her to see. I'd love to see her win gold.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with all that. And I know for at least the last 18 months, 2 years, I'm sure you've been around Croke Park plenty of times. They do have these brilliant posters around the area. I think Michael Darragh is in one of them as well, but certainly Kelly Harrington is. And it says, you know, Kelly Harrington from this area, or words to that effect. And I mean, Now Olympic medalist Kelly Harrington from this area packs an even bigger punch, no pun intended.
Yeah. Because you look at that area, the area between the canals, there's a population of 116,000. A lot of people don't realise that many people live in the city centre. But the 116,000, the Dublin footballers have got two players from there in over 60 years, Paddy Cullen and Ger Brennan. So that shows the kind of the way it's neglected by many major sports. Now, soccer has done quite well. Like Wes Hoolan's from the same street as Kelly Harrington, Portland Row. Mm. Troy Parrott's from there. Jack Burns from around there. Curtis Fleming, you know, there's a few that have come from there. And, you know, now we're starting to see a resurgence in boxing. Like, boxing was an inner city sport. But generally, so many people there fall through the cracks. And they need people, like, I know Michael Darragh is very friendly with Kelly. And he's used Kelly a lot to come into schools and community groups, etc., to talk to kids. And she is brilliant. They warm to her so much. They engage with her so much. And she's a very, very different personality to Katie Taylor. Like, Katie is so admirable in different ways, but she's much more reserved, Katie. Mm. Like, Kelly's humour comes across more. I think you need to know Katie quite well before you get her humour. And I think, you know, you look at now what's in front of her. Like, she takes on Sisson D, from Thailand, who she's already beaten a world championship final. On the other side of the draw, you have Beatriz Ferreira of Brazil, who's a former world champion, Mira Potkonen of Finland, who is 40 now, but was a bronze medalist at the last Olympics, and who knocked out Katie Taylor at the last Olympics. So a gold will be hard won, but I think the most confident boxer of the four left is Kelly Harrington. I think she knows this is there for her.
Yes, well, it's her time. She's 31 years of age. You feel this could be her games. As you said, it's Sisson D, the Thai fighter for Kelly Harrington next. That's going to be on Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Irish time, so maybe a few early alarm bells there. And we might see that fight, and then we'll see how she goes. She's talking about being very focused. She's off social media, and it's great to hear her brother Chris saying there she's very much herself. She's very much enjoying the stage. So, like I said, 6 a.m. Thursday is when she fights Sisson D of Thailand, who, as you say, Kieran, she did beat before. It was a very tight fight back in 2018, world title in New Delhi, and we'll see who's improved more since then. So that's Kelly Harrington. We should mention Kurt Walker, who lost to Duke Regan of USA. And this, I suppose, Kieran, is the Billy Walsh effect when it comes to Team USA, because, I mean, they had zero medals in 2012. US amateur boxing was not in a great place. Walsh now at the helm. So four US boxers are guaranteed medals in Tokyo, which equals their take at the 2000 games in Sydney. I mean, it's not like Irish boxing is in a terrible state. Seven boxers qualified, two medals in the bank, but you still do look at Billy Walsh sometimes and think, well, it's such a pity he's not around. So, I mean, this was a very emotional occasion for all concerned. He brought Kurt Walker into the high-performance unit way back when.
Mm. Yeah. You know, like, if you look at the 2004 Olympics as well, Joe, USA only won one bronze at that, one medal, and it was a bronze, and none of the following. Then at Rio, they won three medals, and because of that, Billy Walsh ended up winning World Coach of the Year award. Now that he's got one better this time, so he won four. And this has been a very disruptive Olympic cycle, and that's the case for everybody, obviously, because, you know, here, but, you know, all the Rio team USA Rio team, went pro after the Rio Olympics. And he lost, I think he lost three or four during lockdown. They went pro. You know, Keyshawn Davis has come back, and he looks a real superstar. No, but what Billy is doing is remarkable. But like, people don't realize, because they look at the size of the USA and look at this tradition in boxing, they think the USA should be cleaning up in boxing. But the system was an absolute mess. There was so much infighting, and pro game just takes boxers there so young. Like, it's very, very hard to keep them in the amateur ranks. No, Ireland lost guys as well. Like, Ireland lost Michael Nevin to Joe Ward during this cycle, and both of them would have been fancy to medal. So, you know, that problem is there with everybody. But even if you talk about Billy's loss to boxing, his loss to Irish sport on a wider sense. Like, Billy would have been a perfect figure to have in, you know, in a key role in the Institute of Sport, for example. John Tracy is stepping down as CEO of Sport Ireland this year. Billy Walsh might be well suited to different roles outside of boxing. Like, he has so much going for him. He's so much hard-won experience now. And it didn't surprise me, his reaction when Kurt Walker lost, because he's very emotional. He's an emotional man, Billy. But he's also, like, he said this to me in a few interviews. He says, no, I'm a product of Irish boxing. I'm a product of the IABA. He said that while he's working in America. Like, this is in his heart. And, like, Zora Antia would be one of his best friends, you know, who's in Kurt Walker's corner. That doesn't change. Like, he would be very friendly with Bernard Dunn. Like, you know, Bernard Dunn is doing the job he used to do. But it doesn't mean they're rivals or enemies in any way. Like, Billy is still the same guy, as he says to me, that had the arse out of his trousers, out of the back of his trousers in Wexford Town growing up. And just because he's, you know, he's living in Colorado now and he's wearing a Team USA top, that doesn't change. And I think we'll always regret losing him. But, you know, that's the way you look around the Olympics. Like, John Coughlin, you know, has trained a gold medalist on the track for Puerto Rico. He's Irish. Graham Shaw went off to New Zealand to go on the women's hockey team there. So we often lose coaching talent, and often it's because it does come down to money. You know, that the money doesn't seem to be there in Irish sport to pay coaches at the level they could get paid elsewhere. And ultimately, like, I remember Billy telling me he had three kids going to college here, and all were moving away to go to college. And that's very, very expensive. Like, if you're paying accommodation fees, et cetera, and it's three kids, like, that's a big bill every year. So you can understand why an offer from the USA was hard to turn down. But at the same time, you'd think something could have been put together here to try and keep him at home.
Yeah, you would have thought so. And there was just such a sense of acrimony at the time. It's hard to believe he's gone, what, 6 years now? I mean, you still sort of feel like Billy's just gone and Irish boxing is almost still kind of trying to recover. So will we see him back anytime soon? Do you think, like, post-games, is he likely to reassess things, or does he have a contract here and beyond? Well, given there are four medals, they'll want to keep him over there.
Yeah, well, I think Billy's, he's 56 or 57. I'm not sure which, but he's around that, the mid-50s. So you would think he's one big job left him. Like, if he wanted to, you know, because it's a short Olympic cycle to Paris. I would be fairly confident he'd stay to Paris anyway. But, you know, that would probably take him up to the, you know, the age of 60. So then he might well review his options. And I'm not sure with the way the IABA still is, would he want to work with the IABA and certain individuals in there? I think there's a lot, you know, there's still a fair amount of bad blood there. And just because we're two medalists, I wouldn't be saying that everything in the IABA has been perfect. It has been far from perfect for the last few years. And even you go to the way they manage things, like, a lot of people rightly say, you know, why do we never see boxing, you know, these guys in between Olympic Games? Why aren't they on TV, etc.? But even as, like, such a little thing that's so straightforward, organized as a media day before the Olympics, IABA didn't do it. Like, most people would never have, Aidan Walsh had a bronze medal now. Most people would never have heard of him until last week. That's, you know, there's no way, no getting away from that. And also, I don't know. I know COVID impacted last year, obviously, and you know, this year up till now. But if you go through that Irish boxing team and look through the records, how often they fought in Ireland the last few years, it's very, 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 very rare they fight here. You know, there's no, internationals are rarely organised anymore. So if you're trying to build a sport and promote the sport, like, you go back to when Katie won, and, you know, there were three other boxing medals in London. everyone was saying, this is, you know, this is a great opportunity for boxing. 6 weeks, 2 months later, organize a big show at the stadium or in the three arena, whatever, put them all on, fill it up, you know, build on it. Instead, Katie Taylor didn't fight for 7 months. You know, so, and the, none of the others did. No, their opportunity was completely lost. So now the IABA have an opportunity again. No, when Kelly Harrington comes back, hopefully with gold, Nathan Walsh goes back. You know, we don't know when things will open up again with COVID, but as soon as they do, they have to hype them and get them on a bill and start using them to sell the sport and not hide them away, which is what they seem to try to do before the Olympics.
And when you say things aren't perfect and you highlight an issue like the one you've just highlighted, do you put that at the door of Bernard Dunne, who's the high performance director, or is it further up the food chain?
No, I wouldn't blame Bernard. Like Bernard's, you know, Bernard is one of the issues. Like Bernard was told, you know, was going into these Olympics, like in the build-up back in March, and he didn't know, you know, the situation in those contracts was really unclear.
Right.
So, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, stories of interference in terms of team selection, and that's always been there with the IABA, and it hasn't disappeared. You know, you had this situation in this Olympic cycle. There's effectively two boards of the IABA.
Yeah.
Whatever we're supposed to think of as a real board and a continuity board, another board that was saying they were the real board. So, like, that is farcical. That has not, you know, there was a big review after the disaster of Rio and lots of recommendations made. And I would say there's still issues there. There's definitely issues with a couple of individuals in the IABA.
So it seems as if the high performance unit wins medals and, I mean, thrives maybe is too strong a word, but, you know, continues to do quite well almost in spite of what's going on above it.
It does, but there's a lot of jealousy towards the high performance unit. There always has been. And there's a lot of people in Irish boxing that have no time for them. You know, they would rather the boxers be with their clubs and away from the unit. And, you know, like, I don't know if you remember, but a couple of months ago, a document was leaked that was very critical of the high performance unit, and was an unsigned document. But that was designed to really damage Bernard Dunne and the HPU unit. You know, it was sent all over the place. It was sent to the media. It was sent to boxing clubs, sent to IABA officials, etc. So that shows the kind of stuff you have to deal with that you shouldn't have to deal with. And that was, you know, those kind of wars Billy Walsh grew weary of as well. You know, that was a factor in him going, because you're always dealing with that kind of nonsense.
Okay, Kieran Cunningham, chief sports writer of the Irish Daily Star. We're going to chat a bit later on about the Olympics at large and how the Irish went over the weekend as well. But for the time being on the boxing, Kieran, thank you.
Thanks.
The Olympic Show on OTB Sports with Indeed, proud partner of Team Ireland.